was in a war. I was personally in a war this week. And the enemy was just, I mean, bombarding my mind, just bombarding it. You know, I've got some things going on in my life and some things that are happening, and it's stretching me out in a really good way. Yeah, I want to call it bittersweet, but at the end of the day, I know it's sweet, sweet. There is nothing bitter about it. It's a gift that God has just, I mean, this light affliction is just a gift God sent to really stabilize me and get me to where he really wants me to be in him and to function in this word that we've been under. Amen. But we're going on a throwback, and we're going to talk about understanding the war to stay in the truth, to see the Father take words to works, and really focus on the war and what's going to be taught tonight and how the enemy has been trying to. I don't know about you, but this message on peace is stirring things up. This understanding about shalom, shalom, and then coming into the knowledge of the shalom, coming into the knowledge of how God wants to restore everything. It has really caused the enemy to kick some dust and to really try to make some trouble in the realm of the spirit. And this message right here is going to help somebody out tonight, because Elder Allison had this on and just felt led to put this message on. And she had no idea what I was facing for 2 days prior, in the bombardment of my mind, and how the enemy was just trying to just put an excitement or an anxiousness in my mind. And it causes the peace of God, obviously, to not to be there. It causes you to be outside of his peace. And his plan is to build a citadel or a bulwark, walls. He wants to put you in a castle, a stronghold place. But I found something out. It's not just to put you in, it's to keep the Father out. That when your mind is racing and you've got so much going on in your mind, it's not just a stronghold to keep you in. It's a stronghold to keep you from joining into this covenant of peace. So in essence, it keeps the Father out, and it blocks and puts his skill set in a paralyzed position. So listen to this message. It's only about maybe 27 or so minutes. I'm not sure. It's not very long at all. But tonight's Thursday night Rhema study is going to be a throwback. And it is going, I know what it's going to do for many of you that are on the line and many of you that are going to listen to this broadcast later. And so, Elder Allison, go ahead and press play on this thing and let the Lord bring victory to everyone that needs it and bring them into his covenant of shalom, shalom.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
So I'm going to talk to you. I know it's a little bit long, but understanding the war, to stay in the truth, to see the Father take words to work. There is a war that's going on, and it is a war that's real. And the enemy doesn't want to see us win, obviously, but our flesh doesn't want to see us win either. But there's something that's going on, but nevertheless, we will win. Somebody said, we'll win.
I will win.
It's key right there. I will win. You will win.
We will
win. We will win. It's the truth. All right? So we have recently learned that to be sanctified, we are sanctified by the truth. We've been learning that on Thursday. We had a nice and really, really good study about this here. And today I'm going to open up. I got about 15, 20 minutes max to try to knock as much down as we can. All right? So we're going to talk about the war. All right? Results that come by manifestation of the truth aren't what sanctifies us. We've learned that. It's not the results that make you sanctified. In fact, if we get into position, the word alone is what sanctifies us. We have to understand that. Results do not sanctify. They do not, will not, cannot sanctify. So you're getting what you desire, you getting what you're asking for, is not going to make you whole. And it's not going to keep you in position to after you receive it. It's the word that sanctifies. Jesus said, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. So in lieu of that understanding, if we know that it's the word that sanctifies us, then what in the world do you think is being attacked? The word. The word on our lives is what's being attacked. God wants to position you not just to win, but to win all the time. It's not a one-stop shop. It's not what he's looking for in any of our lives. He's looking for absolute consistency. All right? So here's the war. The enemy is attacking the truth. He's attacking the truth because the truth has the ability to sanctify. And if the truth can sanctify, then it will also have the ability to position you to win, to be successful, to be absolutely successful in all of what you're doing. So don't think that the enemy's attacking the success. He's attacking the thing that gets you into success, the word, the truth, all right? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3. You don't have a Bible, you can look at the screen. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Well, the word after can translate with the flesh, all right? For the weapons of our warfare, everybody's heard the scripture a thousand times. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay? To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. This is our key. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against God's skill set. The word knowledge of God means God's skill set. God has skills to measure your life. God has skills to totally take you from lower bar to the past. God has, there's a certain skill set that God has to removing every burden and destroying every yoke in your life. But there's an attack against his skill set. It's imaginations and strongholds and every high thing, Jesus. Imaginations, strongholds, and high things. And bringing into captivity, here's another thing. Watch this. When you get these imaginations, which we're going to deal with, just say, when you start to deal with these imaginations that are attacking his skill set, the knowledge of his skill, the knowledge of God's ability. When you get them into captivity, what you're doing now is you're bringing them into the obedience of Christ. That word Christ there is not depicting Jesus. Not Jesus alone. No, no, no. Christ is the anointed. You're bringing them unto the obedience of God's skill set.
Amen.
I let an imagination have its way with me that tells me I'm never going to become what I want to become. And that thing keeps running me down. Yet that thing alone is going to set up what's called a stronghold and what's called a barrier. A high thing is a barrier. So now what you're doing because of that imagination, it's building a wall between you and what you want God to do. All right, here we go. And having in readiness, this happens when you get sick and tired. When you're really sick and tired, this is what goes down. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What takes place is the fight goes on long enough that you get this mindset to revenge. Every time I was stopped, you get a mindset that starts saying, every time this thing stopped me, I'm going to break this cycle. I'm going to destroy this, not just off my life, but I'm going to show others how to destroy it off their lives. You get a readiness about you. When you're doing this, this is automatic. Somebody say it's automatic.
It's automatic.
You don't condition your mind to get a readiness to take the edge. When you start casting out imaginations and you start moving forward and you start to see the skill set of God, what takes place is now you become a little bit antagonistic against it. The flesh is antagonistic against the spirit. And the spirit, the life of the spirit, is antagonistic against the flesh. They both prevent each other from doing what they want to do. So now your spirit life will become antagonistic and say, you're not going to stop me anymore. Once you start to build momentum in God's skill set, your mindset's going to change. You're going to become aggressive against the things that are taking place and stopping your success. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here we go. Imagination. Here's where they are. so you can kind of get an understanding. The word imagination in the Greek actually translates, which I found fascinating, because this Greek translation is before, I think, computers ever came out. But look at the translation. It means computation. Computation means the action of mathematical calculations. This is what imagination is. Check this out. This is real, real good. Real simple, real good. This is what's attacking the skill set of God. Computation, which it means the action of mathematical calculation, the use of computers, especially as a subject of research or study. And I stayed with that particular definition. First of all, it's the first definition in imaginations, in your holy book. The Greek definition for imagination is computers that break down studies and do research. How in the world is that? Because computation means this. The first definition is computation. What is God trying to say? He's trying to say your mind works like a computer. You start to break down reason. You start to break down and try to figure out how to win. You start to imagine yourself winning. You start to do this, and you start to do it without God. So the computer of your mind starts to do research. It actually shifts study, Cap. It comes out of the study of the word and gets into the study of life on how to win. It shifts. It becomes carnal.
Wow.
And anytime you start to do mathematical calculations or any calculation, that becomes your imagination when God is supposed to be your imagination. The word of God is supposed to be what rules and has last say-so and what is dictating success. Now, God can build life skills, but you can't build life skills without God. Because once you start building life skills without God, what takes place is those life skills become your God. You become dependent upon those skills to try to get over. Imagination. Now watch what happens when you have it. For the weapons of our warfare, verse number 4, are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not under your ability to calculate how to succeed. That's not your weapon. The weapon of your warfare is mighty through God. Your weapon is fellowship with God. The fellowship with the Father becomes the weapon of your warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. We've been learning about Alpha Fellowship, fellowshipping with Jesus until we get the truth, then taking the truth and speaking to the Father about the truth we just got. That's the weapon of your warfare. And what they do is they cast down carnal reasons, carnal calculations. And every high thing means this. It means an altitude. God help. You don't understand. You build altitudes in your own thinking. You start to go high. And when you build altitude, Carolyn, watch this. The higher you go in your own thinking, the harder it is to get into the thinking pattern of God. But what happens is when you start to cast down your own calculations, you cast down the enemy's negativity that's coming against you, telling you you're not going to win. What takes place is you start to decrease in altitude within your own self. You start to come into the longitude of God in self. You start to come into the presence of God because you're casting down. Now, you don't sit there and say, I cast down in this imagination. I cast this down. Oh, I cast that down. That's not how it works. That's not the weapon. I just told you what the weapon was. The weapon is not saying, I cast this down. I rebuke that. I totally resist that. That's not. No, your weapon is a lot simpler than that. It's fellowship with God. You cast down imaginations by listening to God, by getting into the now study of the word.
That's great.
Casting down imaginations. You know the word cast down means? And this is what God wants to do to the imaginations. It means to throw down. I used to like that one, but it goes a little deep. It means to demolish. To cast something down means to demolish it. If you demolish a building, you can never rebuild it with the materials that were just demolished. You got to get all brand new materials. So God doesn't want to throw it down. See, I can take walls in a room and throw them down and then rebuild that same exact stuff. I can rebuild it. It can be rebuilt. But God wants to stay in fellowship with him to the point where your carnal reasoning and how you thought you were going to win is demolished. That no longer it's in your thought pattern that you're going to win this way. But now you understand that but through the fellowship with God, doors are beginning to open. The anointing is beginning to move and destroy yokes. Because what happens is when you're doing that, it's going to bring every carnal thought you had unto the obedience of the anointing that wanted to build your world in the first place.
Hallelujah.
It's going to bring it unto the obedience of how the anointing would do it. And only the anointing will destroy the yoke and
yes, build God.
Leave no regret. You'll never look over your shoulder
yes,
again.
Yes.
God addeth no sorrow.
Hallelujah.
You'll never have to look back again. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. So he's trying to pull out high things. Now, a high thing is an altitude. It's a barrier. It's a thing elevated. It actually means bulwark. I thought about you, Joshua. You like this. It's a bulwark. A bulwark is a defense wall. Watch this. The enemy begins to use your thoughts and your reasonings to build a wall so you can't meet God.
Jesus.
Dude is a genius. He builds a wall with your own ambitions. He uses your ambitions against you. And as you don't succeed and as you start to think about how to get it, you might want to do this on the side. You might want to create that on the side, kind of scheme that on the side so you can build. What he's doing is you think you're getting ahead, but what he's really doing is building a wall so you'll never meet the anointing that was designed to take you there in the first place.
Jesus.
Not only can't you hear God, you can't see God because there's a bulwark in front of you. But when you cast down imagination through fellowship, the bulwark falls. The barrier falls. The altitude gets dropped. You get into God's longitude. You get into his presence. Everything changes now.
Mm-hmm.
Now the anointing has three courses to totally build your world. But you got to fight. Somebody say you got to fight.
You have to fight.
You have to fight. You have to recognize when you're hearing yourself as opposed to hearing God. You've got to be in fellowship with the word. Stay in the word that we're learning. That's fellowship with God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to just take this part right here and start this and start building this. So this is what I discovered. This is really powerful. When you're talking with the Father, you're really talking, and I'm about to mess your Christian theology up. Sorry to say it, but I got you. Because you messed mine up. When you're talking with the Father, check this out, guys. Don't blow your minds. When you're dealing with the Father, when your fellowship goes from Jesus through the convincing ministry of the Holy Spirit that convinces you that Jesus is telling you the truth, when you get that word and you go to the Father, you're talking to Christ. I know. I know, because you gave Jesus the name Christ. That's what the, that, but you, where did he get his Christ from? What is Christ? The anointing, the power of. There we go. When you talk to the Father, watch me now. There's one word in the Bible that we overlook. Our Father, who art in heaven. Somebody correct me if you can. Can't, because we overlook it. It doesn't say who art in heaven. It says which art in heaven. Watch it out now. Now, when you speak to which art in heaven, you're speaking to all three tenses. You're speaking to all three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. All three make up Christ. All right, the word which, let me just show you. I'm going to skip around because I'm going to close it down because I got to come back in. We'll come back in on this. We're watching the next Sunday. Amen? Somebody say amen. Check this out now. Now, this message gets really deep. When you make your way in fellowship unto the Father, right, what takes place is you speak to, watch this, Jesus said, after this manner, Matthew 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which, anybody see the word which? Yeah, here we go. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Look what you're looking for him to do. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth denotes you. In earth, as it is in heaven. I want what you have for me, that you planned for me, from heaven to come to earth. I'm talking to the which are in heaven. The which means this, in all their inflections. So now when I'm talking with the Father, I'm speaking to the which. The word which means all of their inflections. Who? All of whose inflections? Voice of the Father, voice of the Son, and the voice of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. You're getting the full triune God, because only the Father, oh God, help me, only the Father had the cross. What he did, according to Acts 10:38, just give you a little backdrop, and I'm going to cut you off. Hopefully you're going to study it for yourself. 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Jesus then went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When you talk to the Father, you're speaking directly to the anointed. That's why Jesus set it up. And after you get to know me, I'm going to introduce you to him so you'll have a direct source of the anointing for yourself. He said, I tell you something. Pray that I'm going to pray the Father for you. For you will talk, you will pray to the Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, he will give it. Why? Because you're talking to the Christ. You're talking to the fullness of the Christ. Don't get me wrong. Jesus was anointed with the Christ. Don't get me wrong now. But that Christ that he was anointed with was to only get you to the Father. All the miracles, all the power, yes, all the work, everything was designed to get you to the Father. So he was anointed with the Father so he could reveal the Father. So every time you get to the Father, that's why it's casting down imaginations. Because what's taking place is those imaginations are coming against the skill set of Christ. Just see Christ now, not just as Jesus, but as the power of God.
Hallelujah, God.
Because every time you stay reliant upon Jesus and his Christ without the knowledge of his Father, he has to shut down because he's not stealing glory from his Father. Right? You can look at these scriptures. Watch this witch come in. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Which strengthens me. When you see which, no, you understand that you're now connected directly to the Father. The all three. Last one standing in this whole thing. You got God that divided himself in three. Last one standing is only the Father. All go back unto him. But check it out. God gives you a picture of this and gives you fellowship with this before that day comes. He wants you to know him. He wants you to imbibe what Jesus is teaching as Lord. He wants you to praise the Lord. He wants you to understand him, but he wants you to know who he is. So now, it's kind of worth casting down imaginations and high things that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God. If you don't, you're locking down his skill set. You're locking down his Christ. And we will pick this up next week, but there's a lot more we can go with. All right? We can't have imaginations, guys. No, we can't have imagination. I like how Kurt, he has an ambition, a God ambition for wealth and for finance. It's a God ambition. But everything Kurt does, is in front. He's not moving in selfish ambition. He knows.
Elder Allison.
Yes.
King through God.
You can stop.
No, he's good.
Okay.
Amen.
God. Bless God. Amen, God.
Amen.
Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord.
The Lord really wanted me to play this message tonight, mm-hmm, because he doesn't want anything blocking this covenant of peace. He doesn't want your imaginations. He doesn't want you in a place where you're computing and where your intellect is running. We're running without him, mm-hmm, and where you start to try to figure things out. My son, Matt, had some trouble at school, and there was some trouble that happened, and it really wasn't his fault. I don't just stand behind him because I'm his father, but he was put in a really, really hard position, and he didn't handle the position, the situation as well as he could have. So it bothered him immensely, and I saw the enemy attack him so badly to where anxiety his breathing. It was getting really bad because Matt was in his own intellect trying to figure out how to fix it and how to avoid any real trouble, even though he wasn't really to blame. But I saw the enemy pounce on him. And me and Matt went into prayer. We attacked this thing and we attacked it together. We got under the prayer shawl together and we just went in and began to attack. And Matt began to see that as he fellowshipped more with Alpha and Omega, because I was teaching him on how to do that, as he began to really fellowship with God in the way that we've learned, he found that the excitement of his mind and all of that subsided. My son is 12 years old, and he experienced victory through the fellowship. He experienced absolute victory because the enemy was trying to set him up with anxiety attacks, panic attacks, all that stuff. He was trying to really lock him down because he at one time locked me down in this. And I found this out, and this is how I've ever avoided having anxiety again. But if the enemy comes in, I know where to run. I know it's back into fellowship with the Word, with Alpha, Jesus, our Lord, the Lord of the Word, and getting to the Father, the Lord of the works. Watching this one, yes, he's one God, but how he's divided himself perfectly to bring us into shalom, shalom. First, tranquility of mind, and then the tranquility of the situation that we're facing being resolved at the highest results possible. Amen. Shalom, shalom. Amen. And the enemy, he attacks this on our lives. And it's all about the fellowship, everyone. I know you think your apostle's gone fellowship crazy. Well, I have. I truly, truly have. Because I know how it saves me. I know it, how it delivers me. I know how to see God move. And I know how I've seen God move. And I want this for all of us. And I want everyone to experience shalom, shalom. So if the enemy is using your own mindset to build a bulwark or to build a walled or a jail cell where the Father's not coming in and you're not getting out, well, pick up in this word. Yes. Let the first shalom come unto you. And then the second shalom will be there. And I tell you what, you're going to see the power of God break the walls down. That prison is going to fall right in front of you. That bulwark that the enemy set up is going to crash and be demolished. And you'll be free. You'll be in the peace, the shalom, shalom. So if this was for you, I pray that it blessed you. I pray that it broke you out. I pray that you got some understanding from it. Mm-hmm. And I pray, I truly pray that you understand there is a war going on. There really is.
Yes, yes.
But in Christ, in Christ.
Yes.
It's already won for us.
Yes.
It's already finished, praise God.
Yes.
But the enemy wants to use your intellect. The Bible says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The excitement of the mind is what that means. Never allows you into the righteousness. You never get into God's methods on how things get done through him. All because of the excitement of your mind. So get out of that. Break away from it. Be free from that.
Amen.
Stay in Alpha and Omega fellowship. Stay Amen. In fellowship. Let me remind Amen. You, in case you forgot, what John said over there in 1 John. Mm-hmm. He simply said, we truly hope that you have fellowship with us. But you need to know that our fellowship is both with the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. This is not new. Paul said it to all 13 churches that he wrote to. All 13 books, rather. He yeah. said, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They had an understanding of fellowship with the Son and the Father. He is one God, but my goodness, how he divided himself into three and how he, my goodness, has mastered giving us shalom, shalom. Praise God. Well, that's all we got for you guys tonight. I pray that it blessed you. I pray that it helped you. I pray that it broke you out. And I pray in all sincerity, I pray that you're absolutely free. Elder Allison left a comment and said, so good. So good. And amen. This was a breaker amen. For me. This amen. Was spoken 3 years ago and God set it up for us. Yes. He's been ministering this word, my goodness. And if you can't tell, he's trying to establish, I mean, himself in your life. God himself. Yes. God himself. I remember what Jesus said, and I'm closing. He said this. He said, listen. He said, I'm telling you now, I'm not going to pray the Father for you. I'm not going to do it. He said, I'm not going to pray the Father for you. Why? Because the Father loveth you himself. And I heard that word today, and it was so strong. For the Father himself loveth you. And I said, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. I said, Jesus. He said, Todd, he said, I've loved you as an extension of my Father's love toward you. But when I'm able to give a revelation to you of my Father and reveal my Father to you, okay. You you're experiencing his love directly. No longer. You see, church, we got to grow up and understand this. No longer do I have to be his extension in your life. The Father himself loveth you because, and he tells us why, because you believed that I came from him. And we believe long enough in this realm of word with the Father giving us direct access to himself through Jesus, our Lord, of course. We only get in by the rhema word that he's revealing. We always get into fellowship with the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it is still through Jesus. But then we get to hang with the Father, just us and him. And then it's the triune. We're hanging out with all three. Boy, it's awesome. Back and forth. There it is. Anybody battling with their own intellect, you got the keys tonight. Unlock yourself. And let the Father blow that thing up, man, and destroy it. Mm-hmm. Just stay in fellowship with him. Don't you leave it for nothing. That's why the enemy's trying to block you. Because when you get in fellowship with the Father, you're going to release the anointing. The full anointing is going to be released. For the Father doeth the works.
Amen, God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father, I pray that you bless them tonight. I pray that those that needed to hear heard. And I pray that after they've heard, Lord God, that they experience at least the first dimension of shalom. And let them hold fast to that so the second dimension, the shalom, can touch them. Tranquility of mind and then the situation completely solved. I pray, Father, and then start causing the enemy to shalom their life, to restore everything he stole, to give it back. And I give you praise tonight. I give you praise because I sense there's liberty. There's freedom. I give you praise tonight, Jesus, for your word. You've been an awesome Lord. An awesome Lord leading us. Everything he said to you, you're revealing to us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the works that come behind it, for you being the manifestation of the works.
Thank you.
Oh, precious Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
How you confirm both of them to us. You quicken us in the word of our Lord. And then you're endorsed to do the works by our Father. So we don't leave you out, Holy Spirit. We bless you. We bless you, triune God. We thank you. For everything you've taught us and everything you're teaching us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you want to sow a seed, you can sow